Hallelujah. Let's get our Bibles out this afternoon. Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Wherever He is, that's where I want to be. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Getting ready for millennium weather here. Being as warm as it has been here recently. Guess the world's getting ready for it. Isaiah 66. I know it is. I'm going. Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hands made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Hebrews chapter 10. Just one verse here. We'll get into preaching the word. Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 5. Hebrews 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Like to preach today, God's pearl of great price. God's pearl of great price. Let's bow our heads before him. Hallelujah. If you have a need you'd like to lift up as we approach his word, with a raised hand. God sees your hearts. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much, Lord, for another opportunity to come and to fellowship with you and to be in your house and to be away from all the things of the world, the distractions of this life and just the rigmarole of day in and day out, Lord, and come to our place of rest, which is in you, Lord. We pray that you'll come and speak to us from your word and mold us into what we ought to be and take away everything of the world out of our lives and out of our hearts. Lord, may you make us the Christians we're predestinated to become, Lord. May this be another step closer to you. Lord, we look toward heaven. We look up, say, come, Lord Jesus, come and take your waiting bride home. Help us, Lord. Heal us. Save us. Redeem us, Lord. Fill us anew, we pray. Take the preeminence of the service, Lord. I pray you'll speak through my lips, Lord. But God, we open up our hearts. May we listen and receive of your word, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I enjoy singing. I enjoy music. But I'm not a big music lover, I guess, compared to a lot of people, especially in this day. You know, we've got my students all the time. You know, they got headphones in. Anytime you give them an opportunity, they're listening to something. And they always ask me what kind of music you like. And I was like, well, I listen to Christian music, but to be honest with you, I don't listen to it too often. Because as much as I love music and the emotions it can give to your heart, what really stimulates me is truth. And yes, there should be songs that go with that, but what stimulates the song is recognizing the truth of what you're singing about. What does it mean, amazing grace, how sweet the sound? I tell you what, I bet 90% of this nation could probably sing part of that song or recognize the tune of it. But how many know what it means to have amazing grace? That I was a wretch. I really was. I'm not good. I'm worthless. But God came to me. And he gave me grace. He gave me a way back. He gave me his blood to be able to come into fellowship again with him. And it gives me something worth singing about. It gives me something worth rejoicing for. Praise the Lord. And you might be asking, Brother Andrew, what are we getting at today? Well, God's pearl of great price. And we know the story. I didn't quote it for a reason here, but the Bible talks about when Jesus said that a man, it's like a kingdom of heaven, is like a man that went to purchase a field. And then he noticed that he found a field that had a pearl of great price in it. And when he recognized that pearl was there, he took all that used to mean something to him. And he stowed it all away. He didn't give it a second thought. He got rid of his car. He got rid of his TV. He got rid of the things of the world. He got rid of his lust and sold it all out to find that gem. Amen. Hallelujah. But what was it, brother, sister? See, we want the pearl. We don't want the field that the pearl's in. We don't want the trials that we have to go through. We don't want to sit next to that brother I don't like. We don't want to go to that church that he spits on me. We don't want to go to that place where every time I'm doing wrong, he says something about it, and not recognizing that the man don't know nothing about you, but it's the Spirit of God knows what you're doing, and he's trying to help you. We don't want the field. We just want the pearl. But ain't the way God did it. He let the field be in the pearl to be in the field. So if you want it, you got to come through it. That's right. And you know what? It's no man's land in this field. That's right. It's just like in, I think it was World War I, they had the two foxholes. That's how they fought. They didn't have as much technology as they did in World War II. That kind of drove them out of those foxholes. But there was a little area in between. That was called no man's land. Because the second you walked up there, everybody else was waiting to shoot you. That's right. And that's what the problem is. We've pictured it too good that we can just chill in the foxhole and be Christians. You don't win a war sitting in a foxhole. You got to get out. You got to gather the courage to step out there and say, here's the difference. They were trusting in maybe an M16 or something. We're not going in the name of a gun or of an army. We're going in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And you can walk straight through there and it won't touch you. And Jesus proved it himself. He had a whole group of people so mad because he was tearing down all their religion. They wanted him dead. And you know how he escaped? The Bible says he walked right through the middle of them. How did he do that? Well, the same way that Elisha told him, hey, you're looking for Elisha? You want to kill him? Here, I'll go take you to him. And here was Elisha saying that.
That's right. Amen.
And he brought him all the way, and they followed him along. And the Bible says they were blind, but how do you follow if you're blind? The Bible's talking spiritual blind. They couldn't recognize that he's standing right there. And by the time they did, they reckoned, oh, man, we're done.
Yeah.
We're in the camp of Samaria.
Yeah.
This is not good. And it was over. That's right. Hallelujah. Bible also says, as I begin to bring this to God's point of view now, in Isaiah 45 it says this, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the works of my hands command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens and all their host have I commanded. So here's this God who's telling you, look, everything you see, I made. Your existence, I allowed. I'm the reason. I own everything. I have everything. Yeah, here we are, wondering, what could God value then? He's got everything. And you think you can't understand where God's coming from because he's got everything he could ever have, everything he could ever wish. Then why does he have any needs? Yet, you'll recognize in a rich person the same problem. It's our perspective is skewed. A lot of us that don't have a whole lot, we look at somebody that's rich and we think, what are they complaining about?
Right.
Why are they upset? Why would, Robin Williams go off and kill himself? Why? I mean, he's got everything he could ever ask for. But when you recognize that he didn't have anything he wanted.
Right.
He had money, popularity, he had so-called friends, but when it was all done, he was alone.
Right.
Hallelujah. And people don't understand why God, how could God have a need? He has it all. He has everything. How could he have a need? Is there was one pearl of great price. There was something God wanted that he wasn't satisfied with just the stars, with just the angels that had to worship him, that didn't have a choice. There was something that lacked in God that, and I say that, but look, he made it this way. He had a desire that he wanted to fulfill. Why? He's a mighty big God. As the prophet said, he's so big, he can humble himself so small, you never see him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother Branham talks about this. Here, let me. It's Lord, show us the Father and it suffices us. 1953. Oh, I tell you, when you go to talking about God and try to bottle him down to somebody's idea, he saw his little children's song we used to sing when I was a pastor. Jesus is so high you can't get over him.
Amen.
He's so deep you can't get over him. He's so wide you can't get around him, so just open up your heart and let him in.
Amen.
When you can't get over him, under him, and around him, yet your heart will hold him. What a wonderful thought. Hey, man, the universe can't, but your heart can. Think now. How wonderful he is, but God in his universe, how he governs the things, how he moves and his motions and things, and everything obeys him, everything.
Amen.
He can say to the star, do this, and it'll do it. Everything he speaks to. Only one thing that won't obey him, and that's man. man knows more about it than he does. So see, he's just got his own ideas, and so he won't listen to God. But if a man will open his eyes and look around, you can see God everywhere.
Amen.
Think about this. God has conquered nations. God created a universe. God's created the stars and the moon and the earth and made it such a way that you can tell when things are going to happen thousands of years before they get here. Yet there's one thing he's been trying to conquer for 6,000 years. There's one thing that means more to him than all of that. More than, as Jesus said, more than 10,000 worlds. What was it? Let me read you a few more here. It's whatever he saith, do it. That's a good sermon title in itself. Maybe whatever he saith unto you, do it. 1954. Brother Branham, he's talking about the Aunt Jemima, or no, I'm sorry. Oh yeah, that's right, where the plane was grounded for that woman. And he said she probably couldn't even read or write or anything, but she knew God. And God grounded a plane for her. Amen. And he gets done after telling the story. He says, God don't care how much education you got. He wants your heart. And I've recognized this preaching and even testifying as a Christian. I've been able, by the grace of God, to overcome people's intellect. Come on. Been able to overcome their doctrines. I've been able to overcome their abilities of this and that and recognize their futility. But what I've had a hard time ever getting to is actually overcoming their heart. To actually getting to the place where they say, you know what? I want to give myself to this God. It's the hardest gated place of a person. Oh my, it's just got stone walls on every side. You get in my head, I'll say, oh yeah, baptized in Jesus' name. You're right. That's the only way they did it next. Then where are you at?
Right.
I see the water still sitting there and you still dry. Where are you at? Hello, yeah, I should set no wicked thing before me, but you know, God understands. Well, he got in your head, but he didn't get in your heart yet. Hallelujah. Brother Brandon was talking about blind Bartimaeus and how blind Bartimaeus, he recants a story how, you know, his wife got sick and he said he'd do this and God helped him and all these things. And it got down to where his family or the little daughter was going to die. And he had a little seeing eye lamb like we have seeing eye these days. And he said, Lord, if you'll make my daughter well, I'll give this lamb as a sacrifice. And the priest came and said, you know, blind Bartimaeus, I appreciate your enthusiasm. I appreciate you getting kind of religious, you know, and actually putting your heart behind this. But look, let's be sensible. I got another lamb. It's just as good.
Sure.
I got another word. I got another interpretation. It's all right. It's vaguely the same. I mean, it looks a lot alike. And we'll give that one instead. And this wasn't just anybody. This is the priest. Yeah. This is the pastor or the preacher or whoever, a well-respected man telling you to do this. But blind Bartimaeus had a revelation in his heart. I told God this one.
Yes.
And that's what I'm going to give him.
Amen.
And Brother Branham begins to finish that story, you know, when he brought it. He said, why, blind Bartimaeus? I'll give you the price of the lamb and you can go buy it in the stalls. He said, no, I never offered God a lamb. I offered him this lamb. And this was the lamb that I offered. That's it. You try to say, well, God was good to me. I'll do this. No, God wants you. You're the lamb that God's after.
Amen.
See, I'll send my children to Sunday school. That's wrong. You must take them to Sunday school. See, you must go too. God wants you.
Amen.
Amen. Think of that. That God, out of everything he could ever desire, you're the one he wants.
Amen.
And why can't you get people to this? Because they're too intellectual. Why, out of all people, out of all lambs, why this one? Why me, Lord? Why, out of all people, I'm the wretches of wretch. Why do you want me?
Amen.
You could make a world and there wouldn't have been any sin. There wouldn't have been any rejection. There wouldn't have been any of these things. Yet you allowed it because you love me.
Amen.
You didn't have to go to the cross, Lord. You know, Satan offered you the kingdom and you could have taken it. But because of me... Glory to God. God's pearl of great price is the human heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can get people to church. That doesn't do nothing for you. You can get people to a doctrine. That doesn't do anything for you. It's coming to the recognition that this God is real. That this God really wants me.
Amen.
And he's not a figment of my imagination. He's the person of God.
Glory.
And nobody twisted his hand. That's why the Trinitarian doctrine is such baloney. God wasn't making his son go to the cross and twist him and said, you better get up there and die for them. God became a man. God took away his own omnipotence away from this being that he was living in. Come on, that's the truth. And he walked there as a mortal, suffering the shame, despised the shame. He was ridiculed above any man. He was bruised and torn to pieces. Why? Because he saw a joy before him. He saw something that meant more to him than everything else there's ever been. And it was fellowshipping with you. And think of what wretched creatures we are. We will go to church for God. We'll read for God. We'll do these. We'll witness for God. But when it's all done, we won't love him.
Amen.
We'll love everything else. We'll give our time to everything else. But when it comes time to sacrifice for him just because we love him, we've got every excuse come up.
Yes.
That's right. Truth is what sets us free, children of God. It's recognizing that I'm in love with this person. Then it doesn't matter what the pastor's doing. It doesn't matter what happens in the church. It's between me and him. And there ain't no point in lying to myself. If I'm not in love with him, Lord, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with my revelation, because if I had a real revelation, I wouldn't have to force myself to love this God. Hallelujah. I would have to force myself to be in fellowship with him. Too many Christians think God's trying to get out of fellowship with you. And he's trying to bring everything in your life that you ever did wrong. He's trying to bring it to fruition so he can make you feel bad and never fellowship with you. When it's the complete opposite case.
Hallelujah.
Turn to Ephesians with me. Hallelujah. And if this thought today don't make you excited, there's something wrong, church. What else could make you more happy? What else could give you more joy than knowing that I'm the thing, the one thing that ever existed that God wants?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to show you it's actually his will for this. Ephesians 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now, what is that? What is this purpose? What did he make the world for? What did he make the universe for? Why did redemption happen? He had one purpose.
Amen.
He bought a field, but he had one purpose.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. This was his will, to bring everything, you, me, every believer, even the universe, back to one thing. What was it? To himself. So he could have that perfect divine fellowship. And God didn't just say he believed this. Come on. He didn't just say, oh yeah, I love you, like too many of us do. Yeah, Lord, I love you, but when you're going to look for fruit of that, you can't find nothing.
Right.
Let's go look at your history on things you watch and things you do. We'll find out what you love.
Sure.
That's right, because where your heart is, there's your treasures also. That's right. God's trying to get to our hearts. He wants to be in fellowship with you. That's why, let me just read, that's why he made us. But God's provided way to approach, let me say it one more time. God's provided way of approach to fellowship, 1960. And then as soon as this great fellowship that God had with his children in the Garden of Eden, when an angel or something must have brought the message and said, your children have fallen and they've sinned, then I can see God come to the garden himself. Did you notice? He never sent an angel. He never sent some servant. He came himself.
Amen.
And up and down the garden he went screaming, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Oh, what a type we could give there. In this world today where people with a social gospel is trying to make Jesus Christ just a prophet. He was more than a prophet. He was God manifested in the flesh. God never sent a prophet or an angel. He created a body in the wombs of the Virgin Mary, and he was the Son of God. God left his own regions of glory and crossed over his own crossed his own caste to come down and become human to dwell among us. Hallelujah. That's too many. Are you catching a revelation today? We've changed Emmanuel to our God had to be with us.
Oh my.
God must have been made flesh. But it isn't the truth. God wanted to be amongst us. God wanted to walk in flesh. God wanted to feel what you feel. God wanted to understand, not just because he knows it, but because he went through it. He wanted to know your pain. He wanted to know your suffering. That's why he did fast for 40 days and went out by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. So that way, anytime anything came to one of his children, he could have sympathy toward him. And it's true, brother, sister, as much as we try, especially naturally speaking, I cannot have sympathy with a pregnant woman like another one could. I've never been there. You can't have the sympathy of things as being a school teacher if you've never been one. There's a certain, you can try, you can get close, but there's a difference when you've actually stepped in those foots. Hallelujah, where you've been there before. And God wanted to make sure that nobody could come up with a problem he hadn't talked about, that he hadn't went through. I wonder what happened all them days. We got a few stories, but I wonder what the rest of them were like. Well, he was a man. He wasn't tempted like a woman. You'd be surprised what God did. Amen. Look, the fullness of the Godhead was in him. What a revelation in this day. If all things are gathered in Christ, that is literally all of God. Amen. And that fellowship was there inside himself, but that wasn't good enough. He wanted to feel it. He wanted to sense it. So he came in a way that he had to get a spear shoved into its side so that it would break open and the woman of God would come out.
Amen.
Why? He wanted fellowship.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Who is this Melchizedek? 1965. God came down and become flesh and died the death in Christ so that he could clean the church. We just think he just did it to have fun. He did it so he could put us up on a little trophy shelf and say, look what I did. Aren't I just the greatest ever? That's why God saved man. I'm just going to start over. God came down and became flesh and died the death in Christ so that he could clean the church in order to get into it for fellowship.
Amen.
God loves fellowship. That's what he made the man at the first time for, was for fellowship. Hallelujah. And so much did God want this, he made sure it got done. He knew sin would come. He knew the price it would cost. And he willingly predestinated it to take care of it before it ever even got here. Hallelujah. There's two revelations about the blood you need to recognize. First is how much that blood was worth. It shows you how deep and low and dingy in sin we really were because of how much it cost to pay that debt off. It took God's own blood to do it. A whole life of suffering with complete innocence. It was a mighty price to pay. But what's the other revelation you need? Is that, look, brother, sister, if I've got $1,000 and I want to buy something, what's worth more to me? The $1,000 or what I'm purchasing? I'm giving up that $1,000 to get something I actually want. And though this price was so high, though this blood was so precious, God valued the soul of man more than the blood of his own son. Hallelujah. How great thou art. How great thou art. And the price wouldn't have changed if you were the only sinner ever came to be. He would have paid the same. He paid the debt of every man that ever walked on earth. He paid the debt for Cain. He paid it for Balaam. Yes, he did. He made a way for them to be saved. Yes, he did. Hallelujah. On that day at Calvary, 1960, now listen to this closely, will find another young lady's more popular than she. The neighbor will find a house that looks better than his. The woman will find another woman dressed a certain way that looks better than she does. It's something in us that's seeking out for something, and it shows that we are lost. We want to find something that'll bring us to that satisfaction, that'll fill that spot of hunger in there, but it seems like we can't find it. Humans beings tried it through the ages. They wept for it. They cried. They done everything that they know how to do, but still they didn't find it. Wandering about through the world, finally one day. That's that day at Calvary. There came one down from glory, one by the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God who came from glory, and Calvary was formed. That was the day that the price was paid and the sin question was settled forever. It opened up the way unto this thing that we're hungering and thirsting for. It brought a place of satisfaction. There's no man that's ever visited Calvary and seen the way it was that can ever be the same. Everything that he ever desired or longed for is met when he reaches that place. And it's just not a hill somewhere in Judea. It is the literal Son of God that was there that showed how much he loved us, not with just words, not with just writing a Bible, but bringing the words to fruition in his own life, proving his will by his works. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! What a revelation it's been for me, even. To say, you know what? Nothing satisfies except Him.
Amen.
I've got nowhere else to go. It doesn't matter what cars we have. It doesn't matter what house you have. It doesn't matter what degrees you have, how successful you are, how beautiful you are, how ugly you are. When it's done, it don't matter how trim you are, how in fit you are, how good you feel. When it's all done, is He there?
Amen.
Is He there? Is He here with me? Is he still just a thought, or have I caught that I've met a man that walked and that's alive forevermore? And he's with me to the end of the world.
Amen. Yes, he is.
Hallelujah. That's the only time you will find satisfaction. You know, we're getting to a place, we're having a hard time not counting the church instead of waiting it. Let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. You know, Brother Branham said this many times, says God don't count his church, he weighs it. It's the quality of it. But look what happens. We think God does that, but for some reason we shouldn't do that. I'm not really interested in filling pews. I'm not interested in emptying them either. Let me make sure you understand that. I'm not trying to get people to leave. But what I'm interested in is that if a man, a hungry soul, a hungry heart, a woman, man, child wants this satisfaction, I want to be preaching it in such a way that it can be received. Hallelujah. I want to live a life that I can be offering out what God has freely given to me and freely give it to someone else. Hallelujah. But if I don't have a revelation of what I have, I won't value it. I won't worry about it. I'll say, good enough for me and God enough for you. Come on now. And there'll come a day when mercy's shut. I understand that. Don't go off legalistic now. There'll be a day where you can't do nothing for nobody because it's over. But I don't believe that day's come because, again, I haven't seen a resurrection take place yet. That's right. When Noah got to stand there and watch the door shut, he didn't have to worry about revelation. It was staring him in the face. I can't get out. Aren't you happy that revelation struck us when we received the Holy Ghost and we recognize that every door got sealed, Brother Kent. Every window got bolted and the devil couldn't get in no more. But you need to recognize you're not sitting in a house, Brother Roy, by yourself. You are shut in with Him.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
The most precious person in the world. The most glorious person. The only one. Why? Why is He the only one that satisfies? It's because He's the one that made us. And He made us for His own pleasure. You don't like that? Too bad. That's why you're here.
Amen.
Amen. That's why the atheist can't accept it. That's why, you know, the selfish can't accept it. Wait, God made me for Himself? Yep. Guess what? He's the Creator. You ain't. That's right. But boy, golly, I'll tell you what. If they had to put 2 cents of effort into something, you better not mess with it. That's theirs. Hallelujah. And if I train this dog to do what I want to, it better not do its own thing. I trained it for my... Oh, what about the dog's feelings? Oh, but that's just a dog, is it? Got a spirit. Yes, it does. It's got its own desire. Are you beginning to see what I'm talking about? Amen. How much better, though, is God's fellowship than our fellowship with a dog?
Amen.
God, look, He made it His way, sure, but His way is wonderful. It's got the best benefits of anything I've ever seen. It's the best place of fellowship a man can ever go. Is in the fellowships of God. Why? Because God's honest, God's true, God genuinely loves you. Amen. Look, if I knew everything, I know a little bit more than my son, right? And if I knew something was going to hurt him, I love him enough to tell him the truth to keep him away from it. Not because I don't love him, but because I do. How much more God in our lives? That a God that knows everything, what would He tell you? What's the best way? That's what He would tell you. Amen. He wouldn't compromise because He already knows everything. He gave us the best way, and He wrote it down. And He didn't just leave it here, but He gave us His Spirit so He could come give us sight to see that this is the truth and that it lives today. I'm not fellowshipping with the thought. I'm fellowshipping in God's pavilion. And I finally caught it. God wants me. God wants me. He doesn't even want my house. He doesn't want my church. Listen, He wants us.
Amen.
Glory. I'm trying to bring it as hard as I can to make sure you understand that we have one goal, one objective, one purpose for preaching this gospel. It's to restore man to fellowship with God. Listen to this. 1965, Thirst. And brother, sister, you'll never be able to. Don't never try to hush that holy calling in your heart. See, by joining a church, by reciting some creed, by belonging to a certain organization, there's only one thing that can satisfy it. That's the person, Jesus Christ. As the heart panteth for the water brook, so my soul thirsts after Thee, O God. My soul thirsts for the living God. See, there is something in you that wants to see the moving of God. Your soul thirsts for it. Don't stop anything short of it.
Amen.
Don't let some pastor tell you. You just have to shake his hand. Join the church or to belong to this organization. Don't kill that holy hush. It's what will come when you'll come down to the end of the road. Hallelujah. And I will never stop a soul that wants to get back with God for some religious idea that, you know, we got to keep the order while I'm preaching. Ain't nobody give their heart to God and scream out the praise and say, Lord, save me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That we got to do something a certain way and we got to be out by a certain time and do certain things. And religion, 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 and wonder why it ain't going nowhere. Because we've done the same thing that the prophet said and warned us of. Don't lead people to a church. Don't lead them to an idea or an intellectual conception. Bring them to the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You can't make them. You can't force them. Just like teaching now, they're trying to make everything. And I ain't saying it just because I'm a teacher. I'm saying it because it's the truth. They're trying to make every kid's learning based on the teacher that they have.
Yeah.
That it's the teacher's fault they don't learn. It's the teacher's fault they don't get grades. It's the teacher's fault, teacher's fault, teacher's fault. There's one thing a teacher's responsible for is making it so kids can learn. They can't make a kid learn. We're supposed to live in the land of the free. They're taking it away from you. You know what? You used to be able to drive a car, and if you wanted to risk your own life, that was your business. You don't want to wear a seatbelt? Okay, you're an American. Took that right away, didn't they? And you know what? I even told some of these kids, you want to fail. I understand that. But according to what we're doing here in this nation, I got to take that right away from you. You're not allowed to fail. You're not. Because if you fail, then our graduation rate goes down. And if our graduation gets too low, we won't get federal funding. And then they'll come looking and saying, where did that kid fail and why? And when I say, you know what, he's a sack of potatoes. He's literally sat there and done nothing every single day and you just want me to give him a D just because?
Yeah.
And we begin to challenge things like integrity and truth and honesty, which are long past gone.
Yeah.
Anymore, it just matters. Is it getting the results I want?
Right.
But see, God don't forfeit those things. That's right. He keeps His integrity. He keeps the truth. And it's the same with preaching the gospel. We can't make people believe it. We can't force them to it. You'll never get them there. But you ought to live in such a way with such a revelation of what you have that if they ever caught the slightest glimpse of it, they say, I want that. I want that life. Look at the joy that man has. Look what he's gone through. Hallelujah. And he could still not get mad and upset and have a temper at every little thing. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Why? He's found something that satisfies.
Amen.
He's found someone that satisfies. He's found a person that can really say, you know what? It's okay. I got this thing.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you a story I told you a little while ago. There was one time a man was running late for a flight. I told it, but it's all right. We'll do it again. He was running late for a flight. Hustling around. He was all the way across the airport. He's getting his bags, trying to check in as fast as he can. He said, man, we got to go. I got to get there fast. And he was running, 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 running. And all of a sudden, a man stopped him and said, hey, what you rushing for? He said, well, I got to get on this particular flight, this particular time. I got to hurry and get there. He said, hold up. I'm the pilot. Just calm it down. They can't leave without me. And you know what? It took away the pressure. Why? Because the person recognized who they're with. How long has the church of living God been walking? Oh, man, we got to hurry. Oh, man, the coming of the Lord's here. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Have you forgotten who's in the church? Have you forgotten who's in the Word? Have you forgotten who's in your soul? It says, what are you rushing for?
Sure.
It ain't going to be a day late. It ain't going to be a day early. He'll be right on time. Because even when he's 4 days late, he's still right on time. Hallelujah. Some people get so worked up and excited. I begin to challenge your faith. I don't know if you really believe you got what you say you do.
Right.
It ought to give you a peace and a satisfaction. That's right. Knowing that you're with Christ. But at the same time, it does give you a desire to help. Don't eternal life's living for others. It puts a revelation in you of what the truth really is. That yes, there are souls dying and going to hell every day. There are people that don't know the truth. And you could have said something, sure, but don't live in a life of regret. God worked everything out for His glory.
Amen.
There's nothing out of cater. There isn't. Amen. God cared so much about this fellowship, He didn't even ask you and me about it. He just went ahead and did it. That's right. Listen now, John 1:12, most of you know this, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power.
Yes.
Not to them, they earned power. To them He gave power. To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. It means your own self-will, your own self-desire. Nor the will of man. So there goes your denominations out the window. That don't save you. The will of man don't save you. But what will does? The will of God. It was God's will to come to us in our deepest of deep, lowest of lows. And make us hit rock bottom to recognize the rock that was at the bottom was Christ.
Amen.
That when you should have died because you put the pedal to the metal, you're still here today.
Amen.
Or you took that extra joint that killed your brother or your friend or your cousin, but you're still here today.
Right.
Hallelujah. Where you were doing the same things in the world everyone else was.
Right.
But for some reason you're here today.
Amen.
Where you were in the same denominational mess that others were. Yeah, here you are today. Some of you came through a message mess. You came through the message instead of the message. That's right. But you're here today.
Amen.
Glory to God. Why? Because of the will of God.
Amen.
What a revelation. What more do you want to know than that God wants me saved? He wants me saved because of His own will, His own pleasure. He wants me to be in fellowship. He wants me to see His power. He wants me to see His authority and His love and His mercy. And He paid an awful big price to do it.
Amen.
Where does that leave us? It's time to accept what God has done. It's time to get and say, Lord, open my eyes to the truth, to recognize that I'm not serving a church, that I'm not serving a pastor, that I'm not serving my brothers and sisters. But when it's all said and done, I'm in love with You.
Amen.
And You're everything to me. Lord, that love, and that's why it's so much more successful to get somebody the Holy Ghost. It really is. You want them to get the church, get the Holy Ghost. You want them to read their Bible, get the Holy Ghost. You want them to dress like women and men to act like men, get them the Holy Ghost. They'll begin to do it. Why? Because they fell in love with someone.
Amen.
Love has works. I don't care what you say. Don't tell me you love somebody and don't ever show it. You're just lying. You might have a little puppy dog love or something that looks good on a movie or nowadays where, all right, everybody shut up and smile. Put it on Facebook. We had a great time. Fighting is doing all the time. It's fake. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, but too many people living a life on Facebook and Instagram and everything else that don't ever get to real life.
Right.
It's sad. It is. I'm not saying you can't upload your pictures. All right. You all know this one. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Let me read the next one here too. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. His own purpose, his own desire was to call you his son, was to call you a brother, was to call you a child of God, call you a citizen of heaven. Hallelujah, and to be in the holies of holies. Now don't forget what we preached on here not too long ago as I go to close soon. God did this his way.
Amen.
It's his will, his purpose, his way, his direction. And in all honesty, we have no right to challenge him. You say, well, I got questions and things. Brother, you can get all the intellect you want. You're going to come down to the end of the road and recognize I either have to believe God or not believe him. Because God does show us things. He does give us understanding. He does. When it's all, like I said, when it's all said and done, at the bottom of it is either faith or nothing.
Yeah, right.
That, you know what? I'm going to believe God because I believe he is God.
Yes.
Amen. See, a lot of people believe God, but they believe in a God. They believe there's a God somewhere, but they don't actually believe God. They don't believe what he says. That he said, it's my will to make you like me. It's my will to take the lowest of lowest. That has confounded so many people. How did God redeem that one? Why did God let this bad happen? Because it shows his great power to take the lowest of lows and make them the greatest of greats. It's becoming to his character. To where he came and did it himself. So I'll show you how it's done. I'll come down. I won't even be born in a hospital bed. I won't even be born in a rich person's house. I'm going to go to a manger. And you know what? The only ones going to figure it out are the shepherds.
Come on.
I could send this. Look at the flip-flop, too, that happened. Back in the days of David, Judah was the tribe that believed God. There were the ones that stayed true to the word. And if you look Kings after, they did. The Samaritans, remember, Israel was run by Samaria, which began to interbreed with the world. That's why they became Samaritans, because they weren't pure Jews anymore. They were half and half. But you go to look when Jesus came. Jerusalem turned him down. But he went to Samaria. And a woman of Sychar, as we understand, went and testified. Jesus showed up behind him. And they said, we believe this. You're the Son of God. Hallelujah. What looked like beaten, defeated, worthless nation ended up being the ones that received him.
Amen.
Joshua one time made a league with the Gibeonites. If you read the story, you weren't supposed to be part of Israel at all. They were supposed to kill them and destroy them. But you find out later, God honored those Gibeonites so much, he blessed them. He said, don't you touch them. He said, they're the most zealous for my kingdom. Why? It's becoming to God's character to take something that looks like it has no potential and prove my seed's still in there.
Amen.
Look at the birth of the Messiah. As I said, I'm trying to close. That's all right. There are certain women, for some reason, are in his genealogy. I wonder why that is. We'll start reading who it was. Rahab the harlot. Hallelujah. It's not Rachel. What's the other R name I'm looking? Ruth. Ruth, the Moabitess. A Moabite wasn't supposed to come to Israel for 10 generations. And she was redeemed.
Amen.
Just to top it off, in case you didn't believe it, Tamar slept with her own father-in-law to have a son. And if that wasn't bad enough, God let Bathsheba give birth to Solomon. A union that happened because she committed adultery. Her husband was at war.
Right.
See why we got to kind of get rid of this notion that we have around here? Oh, it's not right. Don't worry. That baby died.
Right.
I mean, it had serious consequences. Right. David had to have his own sons raised up against him the rest of his life. But God put a seed there. In the midst of death and corruption, there was a seed there that brought forth a Solomon, that brought forth kings all the way down until it brought forth a Joseph and a Mary. That were both of the sons of David. Yes, they were. One was through Nathan. One was through Solomon. And here they were. Hallelujah. Came the Messiah. Why? Now it's all making sense. Now you know what? The revelation. Look, this isn't outside the message. It doesn't exist. That God, from the beginning, had one purpose. To express himself to man. To show us that we are part of him.
Right.
that we're not off in the cosmos, but God is so close. He's the reason you're breathing. He's the reason you have joy. He's the reason of your existence. It's Him. And He was always in you. Hallelujah. He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. And He won't lose a one. Run all you want to. Please don't. You'll reap for it. But you can run all you want to. Some of us tried hard. My, we had it full bore, fifth gear on the ground. Going the other way. But you forgot to recognize somebody had hitched a bungee cord on the back. Destination. And it only could stretch so far. You ain't going to break this word. You break your car first. That's exactly what happened. You got to where you just couldn't. It just got harder and harder and harder. All of a sudden you gave up and said, Lord, I give you my heart. Snap. Boom. And where did it bring us? Right back to Calvary. Right back to where His blood came over me. And it washed me clean. Why did God do this? Because He wants to take us where He is. He wants to spend whatever eternity is, brother, sister. I don't even try to go there. I ain't never figured it out yet. But I know it's a day. Not 2 days, not three. It's one eternal day. There ain't no time. There's no such thing as tomorrow. There's no such thing as being late or early or all these things that we do now. It's all gone.
Amen.
It doesn't get old. There's no such thing as old. There's no such thing, like I said, of tomorrow or past or present. What is it? It just is. Glory to God. And I want to be there. I'm going to close on this. Hebrews 11:13 says this. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunities to return. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Why is this so heavenly? Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For He hath prepared for them a city. Hallelujah. We think again, New Jerusalem. What a beautiful city. What a handiwork of God. And God made it for you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Why? Because I'm going to show you what the one desire of God is. That wherever I am, you will be also. And what a revelation has struck us on this end time. That He's here now. He's here now. Look, the mighty angels come. A lot of people don't believe that. They're waiting on it. But the mighty angel came. What was it? God in Morphate Himself. He changed His mind. The seventh angel was here when this happened. Yes, it was. That's not a type. That's not a foreshadowing. That was the manifestation of the truth. He came to earth and He declared that time is no longer. What does He mean by that? The day of waiting is over. It's here now. Hallelujah. And He declared it to us. Too many preachers making that a type. I think many, some of us did. It wasn't. He put His face in the sky and He came to earth. But He changed His mask. And He showed us that He's in us. That we're in Him. That this is the form that God's in this day. It's God's pearl of great price. She's back. She was always there, but she's back. Hallelujah. But one day it will be over. His form is here, but look, I'm still worshiping Him. I have His same life. We don't worship ourselves, as so many claim. He's still the Son of God. He's still coming in clouds of glory. I'm still giving Him a hug for. I'm sorry, I want you all to be in heaven too, but I'm more. It's going to be hard to get away from Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God made it so we didn't have to. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. What a revelation to recognize that you are, the you on the inside is God's pearl of great price. It's what He was willing to do everything He could possibly do to bring you to that. Let me. This is the last one I'm reading. The Way Back. I hate to say this, but we've always seen slogans: America Back to God, Back to God Hour, and things like that. But the thing of it is, they want to come back the way that man has achieved for them to come back. They want to come back in their own way of thinking, their own way of doing, and usually it's contrary to God's way of returning. And then when they turn down God's provided way to them, then God asks them, why? Why did you do it that way? What am I trying to close on? Do you want to recognize your God's great pearl? Then you don't go around saying, look at me. I'm God's great pearl of great price. And you don't measure up to me, so you can't be the pearl of great price. And, you know, you're a sinner, boy, so you got to be servant seed. And look, I'm God. And you get what I like to call bride pride. I got to keep this balanced just in case people want to go run off on tangents. God loved Peter, sure, a whole lot. But one time he began to say something that wasn't a word. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Hallelujah. God loved us all, but there's been times where he's come to you. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. And too many times, we go, well, I guess I'm not God's great pearl of great price. I guess he doesn't actually love me. Why did he convict me again? Stop doing it. Quit worrying about somebody judging you and recognize that the sin's destroying you. A revelation of what sin is will show you a revelation of what God's really done. He saved us from our own destruction. He saved us from everything that we thought we loved. How many times have you found that? You thought you loved something. You invested time and effort into it just to find out, had God not put the brakes on, you'd have ended your own life. Either financially, maritally, socially, I don't care. You'd have train wrecked yourself, and God came down and put the hammer on you. Amen. Said, no! Stop right there. Amen. You said, but God, I thought you loved me. You gave me my heart's desire. Let's remember what we started on. What was the spirit he wants? A broken, a contrite spirit. What does that mean? One that's sensitive to his feelings.
Yeah.
And one that trembleth at my word. Not one that fights me about my word, but one that trembleth. He said, that's the one I'll receive. One that respects what I've got to say about things. Amen. Do you understand today? Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Staying B flat today, man. You actually picked one of my songs. If you don't know this one, let's turn there as we worship the Lord. 133, when he reached down. You might not remember the verses, but this song is fitting to what we preached on today. When he reached down his hand for me. That E flat or B flat. B flat. There you go. Hallelujah. Dad, you're gonna have to help him.
Once my soul was astray from the I was wretched and vile as could be.
Yes, Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord.
But my Savior above, he gave me peace.
Just worship him now. Thank him for what he's done.
When he reached down his head.
Like you mean.
Oh, when he reached down his hand for me, when he reached way down for me,
glory to God,
I was
yes, Lord, that's true.
I was near in despair.
your heart rejoice knowing the truth. Thank you, Lord.
Now my heart doth rejoice since I made him my choice. From the tempest to him, how I flee.
Yes, Lord.
Now I lean on his arm. I'm secure.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Since he reached down his hand. Since the Lord gave me peace, heavenly joys never cease. Lord, I give all my life unto thee. Oh, please guide my feet, hold my hand.
Take a moment now. Go to that holy place with you and him, sealed by the Holy Ghost. Remember the time when you didn't have him. Remember where he brought you from. Show him your love and affections today. Show him what he means to you. Tell him about it. Give him your heart anew today, will you? Is he deserving? Is he worthy of your praise and your adoration? Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you for reaching for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing and grace. Oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, praise you. Praise you, Lord. Jesus, thank you for your mercy to me. Thank you for your healing, your salvation. Praise his holy name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Let's sing this now.
We'll give all the glory to Jesus.
prayer.
We will give all the glory to Jesus.
Just worship Him now. Thank you, Lord. All things possible, Lord.
And
thank the Lord. Thank the Lord's
love. Oh, and tell of His love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And tell of His love.
Love you more and just commit everything to the love of God. Move upon my brother's faith, Lord, and may that love express out. To be able to give you praise every day and love on you and be a witness to his family and his home. Grant it, Lord, I pray, use this brother mightily in a fresh experience of the Holy Ghost today. Bring him to that perfect fellowship. Thank you for it, Lord. We give you the praise. Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
With joy, how can we know?
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Until the day.
Sing it now.
My eyes behold that city.
worship Him your own way for a moment. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy. I love you, Lord Jesus. I love you with all my heart. Thank you so much, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy. Thank you for that precious blood. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. For the truth, Lord, of restoration. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory,
praise
glory,
your glorious
Lord
name.
Jesus.
Praise your glorious
praise
name.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's good to be a Christian.
Thank you, Jesus.
Enjoy the word this afternoon. Lord God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for encouraging us once again.
How we love you, Father.
It really is. It's about us. He just loves us. What a privilege. That's why I believe John could say, what manner of love the Father bestowed on us to call us the sons of God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
So I could be the son of, some famous guy, or son of a king. I think that'd be glorious, but I'm a son of God.
Amen.
Creator of heaven. What greater honor? Nothing. There isn't one. That's right. And this same God's inviting us to eat of His Word. Isn't that right? Eat of the things of God and the fellowship of God. After Jesus rose from the dead, He told the disciples, come over here and eat on this. Eat on the Word made flesh today. I think we can close on that. You want to come and dine at the Master's table. Amen. I'll let you be dismissed. We can praise the Lord for a little while. Praise His holy name. He's worthy today. If you don't know, it's 43, but I think we do.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people, come and dine. With His manna He does feed and supplies our every need. Wolves who eat us up with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth.
Yes, Lord.
You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
The disciples came to land.
The disciples came to land. Thus obeying Christ the man. For the Master called to them, oh, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus He satisfies the hungry.
Every time, He's our satisfaction.
Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. We make feast at Jesus' table all the time. Turn the water into wine. To the hungry call the Lamb, come and dine.
Soon the Lamb, yes Lord.
Soon the Lamb will take His bride. He'll be ever at His side. All the host of heaven with us Him will be. Oh, He'll be a glorious sight. All the saints in spotless
white. Yes, Lord.
And with Jesus they will feast eternally. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.